Praise is when we talk about God. Worship is when we talk to God. Praise becomes the accessing point into the presence of God.
Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Joey Rogers, and welcome to Revive. We're glad that you've joined us today. In just a moment, I'm going to take you into a life-changing word from the Lord as preached right here from Pace Assembly. I know that it will be a blessing to you, so get ready to receive the word of God and faith that comes by hearing that word today. Let's join it in progress, and I'll be back at the close of the program.
Welcome back to Revive Radio. Let's continue with Pastor Rogers in this I Worship series. This is part two from the series, Understanding the Importance of Praise. Let's get back into the message with Pastor Rogers.
So let me just explain a little something to you. This will come in forthcoming lessons, but Lucifer, according to the scripture, walked behind God, and the flashes of fire off of his feet, off of the pavement, so to speak, and the fact that he was endowed by God with pipes. You can read all about this in the book of Ezekiel, as he was infused with pipes and could sing all the parts of harmony at the same time, and he had every color manifested through him. It was all to point towards God for his glory. There's three archangels in heaven, Michael, Gabriel, and Lucifer there in the beginning. All right? Michael, Gabriel, Lucifer. Michael is the warring angel, Gabriel is the messenger angel, and Lucifer was the worship leader in heaven. It's clearly described in Scripture. So all the colors that were on the inside of him when he left out, we've embraced that to bring it in, to use whatever mechanism is necessary to be able to bring glory to God. And God gives us a pattern in order to get into not just his presence, okay? Not just his presence. Because we start, somebody say, well, I'm just going to church today. Let me tell you, you don't just approach a king any way. If you went to visit the queen before you got into her presence, they wouldn't take you into another room and instruct you, first of all, you're not going to wear just whatever you want to wear into her presence. Thank you for those three amens. Because today, come as you are. Oh, wait a minute. Let me just say to you, and I'm not throwing off on clothing. I'm saying to you, it's not, we've transferred that into our mentality, and yet we are supposed to be engaging and encountering the King of the entire universe, the King of glory. Come on, say amen, somebody. That woke your neighbor up. So if you go and visit the queen, you don't just walk in any old way, and you don't walk in any old time. I said you don't walk in any old time. If your meeting was to be with the queen at 10 o'clock, let's just say you had a meeting with her at 10 o'clock on Sunday morning. I'm just hypothetically. 10 o'clock on Sunday morning, and you show up at 10:30. Don't be shocked that you don't have the full encounter or any encounter with the queen. And wait a minute, it wasn't the queen's fault. Come on, somebody. It wasn't the queen's fault, and it wasn't her usher's fault, and it wasn't her butler's fault. It wasn't the driver's fault. You just didn't value that audience with her. I can tell that I popped the lid on the casserole tonight, and you're loving it right now. Because we take the encounter with the God of the universe so casually that we think we've had an encounter with God because what we call worship is singing a song, two or three songs. We go through, listen, worship is not the PSAs. Worship is not the four songs that we sing. Worship is not the lights, it's not the band. If you haven't had an encounter with God that brings you to the glory of God, where he manifests himself in some manifestation of his power. Healing, salvation, etc., etc. Okay? That's the end. The ultimate encounter with God is not about what I do to sing songs, lift my hands, all of that. All of that's involved. All of that's part of it. But it's not it. You haven't encountered God because you sang a song about God. Are y'all with me? You haven't encountered God just because you showed up at the service or put some money in the offering. Especially if your heart is not there. Because it's not about your hands or your head, it's about your heart. He makes an indictment against those Pharisees at one point and says to them that you're speaking out of your mouth, but your heart is far from me. That's the reason why it takes effort. It's called a sacrifice of praise. Are you with me? So you don't just come into the presence of the king any old way, any old time, any old way of doing it. I'm going to teach you, and after the first of the year, I'm going to take up the study in the tabernacle and show you how to worship a king. Because there is a pattern to get into the presence of God that will bring you into the glory of God so that you can see blind eyes open and the lame walk and the deaf hear. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Now, all of that is not up to us. It's his glory. But if we never make it to that place with our worship experience, then all we've done, like I taught you, okay, here's the three chambers. Here's the three chambers of the tabernacle. Here's the outer court right here, okay? Most people never get past this veil of the flesh to get into the full glory of God. Now, because of the cross, Jesus has ripped the veil down between there and the glory of God. So once you move, let's say it like this. Once you move from praise into worship, I can't tell you where worship starts and where praise stops. All I can tell you is that once you get past the veil of the flesh where you don't feel like it, where there's a hindrance, where there's whatever that's blocking you from adjusting your mind to the will and the purpose and the presence of God. That's what it's all about. I mean, what good is coming into his presence, which is the presensing of the presence or the glory of God? It is the presensing. The presence of God is the presensing of God is here. Just because we show up doesn't mean that God's going to show up. Now, I was watching last Wednesday night when my friend Evangelist Creston Tomlin walked into this room and he was ready to preach. He was ready to preach. He got up and started singing a little bit, and all of a sudden, the presence of God, of the Lord, took this service in a different route because God's end was in progress. Now, you can get fleshy, like a lot of folks do, and when we get through singing our few songs, that gets us presensing the presence of God. If you don't have someone who is sensitive to what's taking place, you can go home and miss the glory of God. And oh, didn't we have a service? All you did was start tasting of the presensing of the presence of God. You got enamored by the means, but you missed the end. Now, I'm going to tell you, I don't want to waste my time and I don't want to waste your time coming to church and go through all of the functionality and pattern of worship and miss his glory. Because I got too much stuff, too many battles that I'm fighting with the devil. Come on, somebody. I got a list of stuff that I could lay out right now, but if I can ever get into his presence, are you hearing what I'm saying? If I can leave all of the stuff out here, you're not allowed to bring all your junk in here. Here is where the brazen altar and the golden altar or the laver, the brazen laver was at. This in the outer court and the natural light of the tabernacle was where you left all of your burdens and all of your cares, and you didn't carry a bag into this place right here. The only thing you had was incense and the blood coming in to the Holy of Holies. You left all of your issues on the outside. Come on, somebody. And when you will begin to enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise, suddenly God translated you into a place of worship where the glory of the Lord began to manifest himself. I was studying today, preparing for these messages, and I turned on a preacher that I like to listen to, and I didn't know what the content of the message was. But in this message, he never got to his message. And while I sat there for a few moments, the people of God in that congregation, he read his passage of scripture. And because the people were already engaged, because all of this was not enough, going through the lifting of the hand. And I'm not saying any of that's wrong. That's all part of the pattern to get there. I'm thankful that God gave us songs, hands to clap and to raise, and a voice to bring. All of that's part of it. But it's not the end. So he read his passage of scripture, and the people were in such one mind and in one accord. It's happened here hundreds of times, thousands of times over the years. The presence of God came sweeping in, and the glory of God, you could see it begin to manifest as people. I literally was sitting there. This was a service years and years ago. Are you hearing me? This was not yesterday or this past Sunday. And brothers, if the heat is on, you can take it off now. In the building. Okay? This was a service years and years ago. But the anointing of his presence was so heavy on that service. He didn't get to preach. He read the passage of scripture, and suddenly people were engaged and they were connected to that word, connected to the presence of God. And people spontaneously began to shout and praise and dance. Tears, some were crying, some were laughing and raising their hands. People were worshiping all over the place. And it was, you know, I heard one preacher, I was listening to a guy coming back from Atmore last night. I was listening to a little preacher on the YouTube coming home, and he was all down and all out of emotionalism and all that kind of stuff. You people, with all your emotional worship service, I said, time out. You'll get emotional about what you love. Did you hear what I said? Come on now. I mean, people are emotional about all kinds of things right now. You let your house get blown off of a foundation, you'll get emotional. You let fire ravage your house, you'll get emotional. Come on, somebody. Let's just take it to the full carnality of the deal right here. If your team doesn't win, you'll get emotional. Why is that? Because God made us emotional beings. We're made up of a body, soul, and spirit. Inside of our psyche, our soul, is the will, the mind, and the emotion. And all of that is engaged, especially when you hear the passage of Scripture that if you're going to worship the Lord, you must worship Him. You must worship Him with all of your heart, soul, mind, and the New Testament adds strength. So there's not one part of your being, from the innermost to the outermost, that is not engaged in what is supposed to be the worship experience that brings you into a place where God delivers, saves, heals. And it may not necessarily be inside of that particular service. It might just be like I was watching that service today. Tears begin to, blew out of my eyes as the presence of God on that TV service, that service came leaping off of the screen into my living room. And suddenly, ladies and gentlemen, I was in the tabernacle of the Most High God. Does anybody know what I'm talking about here?
I'm thankful that you've joined us for Revive today, and I pray that the word of the Lord has been strength to you. If you'd like more information about today's message, log on to paceassembly.org, or you can email us right there, revive@paceassembly.org, and I want to encourage you to be right back here with us once again. Till then, remember, Jesus Christ is coming soon.